There are 6 basic starter species the Syndicate uses to seed worlds. Humans are one of them. They find a compatible world, sprinkle the humans on there, wait a couple thousand years, and then reveal themselves to the largest settlement. They usually do this as soon as civilization starts to take hold, but long before any sort of industrial revolution. As long as there's a working government, this counts as first contact. In a legal sense, I mean, which gives them leave to wait a couple thousand additional years, come back, and strip the planet dry.
How? It all happened in a second.
Yeah. Technology beyond your understanding seems like magic. So as far as you're concerned in this place, it is magic. It's like that Wizard of Oz movie. But you'll never get to peek behind the curtain.
You've seen Wizard of Oz?
Guildmasters prepare for years for each new dungeon world. Kid, I have been preparing for this longer than you have been alive. The advanced team arrived in your 1930s, I believe. Whenever that book came out, The Hobbit. I left the last system and entered the prep phase in your year 1964. I know this world and your customs just as well as you do. I even once got to shapeshift into a human and go out into the world. I went to a Blockbuster video and stole a bunch of James Bond tapes. I was so happy once you guys started digitizing everything.
How long have you been a guildmaster?
You don't even want to know. So, anyway, your planet defaulted on claiming Earth as a sovereign entity. You had 50 local years since first contact, and first contact was several thousand years ago, whenever those pyramid things were built. The Borant Corporation has a huge backlog of worlds to mine, and your time is now.
So they're taking all of our minerals?
It sort of. Borant deals in rare elements and the like. What they end up mining will fit on a single transport. I don't know too much about that part of the process. The elements involved are unimportant. It's a big universe out there, and there are plenty of places to mine. That's not why they're really here. While Borant does make a profit on the mining, the real money is in the game. The dungeon.
How?
Are you kidding? The Syndicate consists of over 3 billion independent star systems. Every season, a new dungeon crawler world debuts across the net. Quintillions of citizens of the Syndicate become obsessed with the crawl.
Wait, so this is like a TV show? Like Survivor?
Oh, I loved that show. And as far as you're concerned, yes, it's a show like Survivor. But it's more a Running Man situation than a Survivor one.
I'm on an alien television show. Holy shit. B had always wanted to be on television. She tried out for countless reality shows. Me? I'd rather have a hot poker stuck through my eye. I briefly wondered where she was, and if she was alive. Probably not, I decided. It had been 5 a.m. in the Bahamas when it had happened, which meant she'd probably been asleep in her hotel. Probably in bed with that asshole. And if by some miracle she had survived, there's no way she'd have gone into one of those tunnels. So, are there people watching right now?
I will get to that in a moment. It doesn't look like anyone else is going to be joining us anytime soon. So let's get the tutorial started.
Mordecai opened a door to a storage closet off to the side and wheeled out a double-decker cart with an old tube TV strapped to the top. The black nylon strap securing the TV in place had the words, "Living Grace Mormon Tabernacle," scrawled down their length in what looked to be whiteout. He picked up a book-sized cassette tape lying on the shelf underneath the TV and pulled it from its cardboard sleeve. I hadn't seen one of these setups in forever. The word Betamax was etched on the side of the VCR under the TV.
Okay, yep, there we go. Let's see. Video one. Come on. Come on, play. There we go.
Static lines warped the edges of the ancient TV screen, but the image of a human with an oddly thin face materialized in the center. He wore a skin-tight formal suit reminiscent of a tuxedo, but it was purple. Instead of a bow tie, he wore a roughly pink undershirt with frills sprouting from the collar. The dude looked like he was cosplaying as Prince. As he started to speak, some squiggly-lined, odd logo thing faded in at the top right corner of the screen, somehow not warped by the stretch lines around the edges. The human's voice had a velvety tone to it, smooth like a used car salesman.
So, you found yourself in a dungeon crawl. On behalf of the Borant Corporation, let me be the first to welcome you to your new life as a crawler.
He casually strolled across the room in the film, which looked like a classroom complete with desks and chairs and even a chalkboard in the background. The camera followed him as he moved, and the sounds of wet splats accompanied his footsteps.
You're probably feeling surprised, confused, and maybe even a little bit scared. Trust me when I tell you that these are all completely normal emotions, given the nifty little adventure you've gotten yourself into.
The human presenter stopped at one of the desks and put his foot up on one of the chairs. Something about the room didn't seem right. The proportions were off somehow. Almost as if the chair legs and the desks were too short. The room itself felt small and cramped too, as if the ceiling was considerably too low.
In fact, that's exactly why I'm here, to help allay your concerns and answer the countless questions running through your mind. The Borant Corporation has created this tutorial video to help you acclimate to your new life in the dungeon, short-lived as it may be.
The guy's calm approach to the topic unnerved me, but at least I might finally get some answers.
All right.
Hey, what are you doing?
We don't need to watch the whole introduction. It's not really worth your time, trust me. We can skip ahead a bit. How about here? Nope, that's not far enough. Here we go. This is the important stuff.
Mordecai stopped the tape, and the presenter, now laying atop one of the desks as if he were posing for the camera, continued to speak.
Let's get into the nitty-gritty of the game's mechanics.
The screen faded to white, displaying instructions for the guildmaster to activate the trainee's crawler menu. Mordecai's right hand glowed for a moment, and I felt that haptic buzz in my brain. Across the room, Donut hissed and batted at the air.
You have been granted access to the crawler menu.
My world blinked, and several items appeared in my vision. A long green bar, a health bar, I realized, appeared in the top right. It pushed the timer down a notch. That blinking folder remained in my top left. A small mini-map appeared in the bottom right. The video, despite its age, synced perfectly with what was happening to me, and the human began to speak again.
You've just received a crawler notification. There are a few different kinds of notifications, but only you can see your own crawler notifications. There are also system messages, which everyone sees no matter what floor they're on, and floor-specific notifications. Those may be in different voices. We do like our variety here at Borant. By now, you probably noticed the blinking box in the top left corner of your screen. Those are game and status change notifications, but don't click it yet. We'll get there. First, I want you to focus on the map on the bottom right. Look right at it. and make sure you're thinking about looking at it. Your guildmaster will direct you in the basics now.
More music played, and the screen faded to white again, showing the Borant logo and the words, "Training in Progress," underneath. Mordecai paused the video and gave me a nod. I focused on the map, and it got bigger, increasing to fill my entire vision. It was a simple blue and gray map showing the hallways and a few random doorways. Most of the area around us wasn't filled in. It only showed the area we'd walked, pushing out about 20 meters in every direction. A green dot sat in the middle, right in the guild. Two additional dots appeared, a blue one and a white one. I focused on the blue dot, and a note appeared above it.
"Crawler, Princess Donut."
The white dot read,
"Guildmaster Mordecai."
The whole room glowed yellow, and when I focused on it, it read,
"Tutorial Guild."
A trio of X's appeared outside in the hallway. I mentally clicked on one.
"Corpse, level 2 goblin."
And I mentally clicked away, and the whole map shrank back to normal.
"Good, good. So you're the green dot. The blue dots will be other crawlers, white dots will be NPCs such as myself, and mobs will be red."
The explanations went on like this for a while, with him explaining how to open and close menus within my display. I could just think about it, and a whole menu system would pop up, giving me access to several folders. Once I got used to the weirdness of it being in my head, the system was quite intuitive. Mordecai played the video again, and the human, now standing at the chalkboard, continued his presentation. When he spoke, instead of writing on the chalkboard himself, words and numbers just appeared there on their own, yet somehow still written in chalk.
"Now that you're familiar with your crawler interface, we can talk about the function each of these menus includes. Let's start with the most familiar one. And by that, I mean you, of course. Your first menu is your crawler statistics. For those of you who aren't familiar with computer and tabletop role-playing games, this section shows your inherent statistics. Go ahead and examine yours now."
This section wasn't too surprising. My stats were...
Strength, 6. Intelligence, 3. Constitution, 5. Dexterity, 5. Charisma, 4.
"As a crawler, you can't directly adjust these stats. Not yet, anyway. But you'll receive 3 stat points every time you level up. And when you pick a race and class on the 3rd floor, you'll be free to distribute them however you like."
The chalkboard showed a set of sample stats in one column next to a chalk image of a generic male crawler. The figure was drawn cartoon style, but as before, the presenter wasn't physically making any of this happen as he talked. The chalkboard seemed to do it on its own. Then the image of the crawler changed to a generic female crawler, and the stat spread changed along with it. It changed again, this time to a much bigger male crawler with ridiculously bulging muscles. His stats showed a heightened strength stat at 7, which the chalkboard automatically circled on its own. The next shift showed a woman drawn with enormous breasts, a huge butt, and a waist so disproportionately small that it made old-school Barbie dolls look reasonable by comparison. The chalkboard circled her charisma stat, which at 6 was the highest.
"These initial numbers will go up and down on their own based on your inherent, real-life physical and mental attributes. The typical adult human averages between 3 and 5 for each of these stats. You can find items and potions in the dungeon that will either temporarily or permanently adjust these numbers. But for now, it's best to learn to use what you've got, like the rest of us in the galaxy."
If the average range was between 3 and 5 for these stats, my 6 in strength was good. I motioned for Mordecai to pause the tape, and he did. "Why do we have to wait until we go down to the 3rd floor before we get to pick a class?"
"It takes a lot of energy to run this whole operation. I think they figure if you manage to make it to the 3rd floor, you're worth the investment to transfigure. Class is easy, but changing your race takes some doing. You're being fundamentally changed at the cellular level. That's a lot of effort for someone who's just going to get eaten by a flytrap on the first floor.
I can change into a different type of creature. If this was a computer game, I'd do it in a second. I never played humans in games if I could help it. Permanently changing myself into something different? The thought made me ill. It was something I'd have to think about and deal with when I got there. I grumbled a bit about that 3 in intelligence. Yeah, I never did too great in math, but I never considered myself a slobbering idiot either. I could fix most anything electrical after studying it for a bit. My friend Billy Maloney. Now that guy was an idiot. Just last week we'd come out of a bar, and he'd peed right on a cop's bicycle while the cop was giving someone else a ticket for drunk and disorderly. That guy deserved an intelligence of 3. Maybe 2. Billy is dead. He was still in jail. He had had a warrant for failure to appear, so they'd taken him in. He's dead like everyone else in the world. I pushed it away. After I complained about my intelligence score to Mordecai, using the Billy example, he said,
Intelligence told you that bike belonged to a police officer. Wisdom told you not to urinate upon it. We all have a wisdom stat, but it doesn't appear on that list. It used to, but they discovered changing one's wisdom greatly changed their personality, so it's no longer adjustable. I do not know what this Billy's intelligence is, but I guarantee his wisdom is not a 5. Worry not about an intelligence of 3 unless you're seeking a magic-based class. Your best bet is something that focuses on strength.
Mordecai started the tape again, and the chalkboard shifted to a different set of words and numbers.
This next menu is the single most important menu in the entire game. Your life depends on these numbers. Literally, go ahead and select your ratings menu now.
Ratings. Views, 0. Followers, 0. Favorites, 0. Patrons, 0.
The first level of the dungeon isn't accessible to live viewers, so these stats won't move until you descend to the second floor. However, the Borant Corporation will periodically release edited highlights reels. If you're snazzy enough to make the show's premiere or during any of the regular update episodes, you'll be well on your way to crawler superstardom. Featured crawlers always gain billions of views and millions of followers right out the gate. But don't get your hopes up, crawler. Given the number of people who've entered the dungeon, the chances that you'll be featured are even smaller than your chances of survival. So, if you want to see tomorrow, you'll have to do more than just fight. You'll need to cultivate chutzpah. You'll need to find the it factor inside of you. You'll need to stand out to make viewers take notice. But don't just kill that shambling acid impaler and walk away. Kill it with excitement. Kill it with style.
This time, I stood up and paused the tape myself. I turned to Mordecai.
Excuse me. Shambling what?
A shambling acid impaler. The second floor will be lousy with them. They trounce about on 4 legs, are green, hairy, spit darts at you that melt your skin off. Awful creatures.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, kid. Pay attention. The monsters aren't important. Well, they are, but this part, especially, is more important. During my crawl, I managed to accumulate almost 30 million followers and 4 patrons. That's the only way I survived.
Okay. Keep going.
Upon the launch of the second floor, watchers from across the universe gain the ability to tune into any crawler they wish. Meanwhile, the Borant Corporation will continue to air highlights. So, the longer you survive, the better your chances at getting featured.
The chalkboard shifted to a large circle filled with countless smaller circles. Each of them roamed about freely, reminiscent of ants in a hive.
Then several of them disappeared, replaced by an X marked with red chalk. This process repeated several times, with the circle narrowing across several levels, until only a handful of circles remained. The word U, with an arrow pointing to one of the circles, hovered over the few survivors. The sight of it made me sick.
Any time someone watches your feed for about 8 seconds, it counts as a view. This stat neither helps nor hurts you, but it's a good indicator of how interesting you are to our viewers. Obtaining patrons is crucial to your survival. The dungeon contains plenty of great loot that'll help you survive, but the best gear comes from benefactors. Patrons. The calculus is simple. Views lead to followers. If you're being followed, it means the viewer has bookmarked your crawler ID and can look in on you whenever they want.
The chalkboard visuals shifted and changed with each new explanation given, but the circle including the few remaining crawler circles remained off to the side.
More followers leads to more favorites. If you're favorited, that's a good thing. It means viewers are getting live updates on your stats and condition. They even get notifications if you're fighting. If someone has favorited you, they really want to know how you're doing. Viewers only get a certain number of favorites, so consider it an honor. But ultimately, it's all about the patrons. Lots of favorites will always lead to patrons.
An image of a faceless patron formed from the chalk. It extended its hands, and a box appeared in them. Then the box lifted off its hands and floated across the chalkboard, sprouted a tiny parachute, and drifted down into the circle of the dungeon populated by the surviving crawlers.
Patrons are usually organizations, not individuals. They'll see someone has a lot of favorites, and they'll sponsor you by purchasing boxes for you. There are dozens of types of boxes, and each type of box has 6 quality tiers.
The patron cartoon disappeared, and the chalkboard listed each type while the human presenter pointed to them.
Bronze, then silver, then gold, then platinum, then legendary, then celestial.
I paused the video again.
Yeah. You wouldn't let me open my boxes yet. Can I do it now?
Hold up, kid. We have a process here. We'll get there in a minute. Most patrons can only afford, or are willing to, send you silver or gold boxes. Those contain the rarest items, so even a bronze benefactor box is better than a plain gold adventurer box. A benefactor box may contain items from the patron's home world. You will never find a pulse rifle or automated power armor in any sort of box in the world dungeon, but it's possible to get one from a patron. Does that make sense?
None of this shit makes sense. But yes, I understand what you're saying. I'm on an intergalactic game show, and I have to be an obnoxious show-off in order to get eyes on me. And once I do have eyes on me, I might get a loot box with toilet paper in it. Does that about sum it up?
Yes! But toilet paper is complimentary. Restrooms are liberally populated throughout the map. It's the only place the viewer cameras can't follow you.
Are you serious?
Oh, I'm serious. The last dungeon Borant managed didn't have rest areas, and the crawlers were pissing and crapping all over the place. Crawlers lose viewers when they're shitting in the middle of a hallway. It's gross.
And what does Borant get out of this?
In addition to the mining income we already discussed, the Borant Corporation receives advertising dollars, a stipend from the Syndicate government, and a commission on every credit spent by patrons. Also, it should be noted that every time a crawler mentions the name of either the interstellar government or the organization sponsoring the current crawl, the system AI will record the interaction for review. If it is found a crawler is disparaging either of these two entities, especially while on camera with live viewers, the crawler's experience may be accelerated.
Got it.
I had no doubt that accelerated meant nothing good. Mordecai hit play on the VCR again, and the chalkboard continued to adjust based on what the presenter was saying.
While your overall health will display as a single green bar, your health menu populates as an extensive pie chart. Healing in the dungeon is accelerated for your benefit, and the rate is based on your constitution stat. But don't count on it being fast enough to save you from everything. We want you, and more importantly, our viewers, to enjoy your crawl. But remember, if you die in the dungeon, that's it. That's the end. Game over, my friend. You're fucked.
While the guy talked, I reviewed my health info. I had recently been cured of several issues I didn't even know I had, like abrasions at the bottom of my feet and on my hands, frostbite, and the start of an infection from when Donut had bit me. After that came my skills menu. This section just went on and on and on. There seemed to be an infinite number of pages. If I didn't have the skill, I couldn't read what it said. It was still listed there, but the words were blurred out. Literally hundreds of pages would scroll by before I saw anything. Mordecai paused the video and had me change the view to skills I did have, and that list was just as long. I had things like breathing, 3, walking, 4, operating a Sony brand RMVL-Z620 universal remote control, 1. The list just never ended. He had me uncheck a box, and most of those skills disappeared. What was left was still several pages long. Then another check, and anything with a skill of 1 or 2 disappeared. What was left was things like unarmed combat, 3, basic electrical repair, 6, swimming, 4. Nothing was over 5 other than electrical repair. Most everything was a 3.
This is a good start. I'm impressed, kid. You're proficient with several earth weapons, all firearms. But since you didn't bring any, you'll want to train with some of the dungeon-based weapons. We'll see if you get anything good in any of the boxes once we get to it.
Next was the magic menu, which was complicated as shit. It was also one of the most surreal parts of this adventure so far. I was given a simple healing spell and a pool of mana points which appeared in my top right underneath the health bar. Because my intelligence was only 3, I only had 3 magic points. The healing spell cost 2. Magic points naturally refilled about 1 every hour. I had a hot list of 10 spaces along the bottom of my screen, and there I could add potions or spells or other special items. Mordecai had me place the healing spell in spot number 1. I could mentally click it to cast it. The spell was only a level 1 basic healing spell, and it would heal about 20% of my health. He made me try it, even though my health was already at the top. I cast the spell, and my whole body glowed red. My magic bar went down by 2/3, and nothing else happened.
If you were injured or sick, you'd feel much better after that.
We continued to watch the training video, but a voice boomed, interrupting the tutorial and stopping it from playing automatically.
Hello, crawlers! The dungeon is now sealed! We have a diverse group joining us this season, and we are very happy to have you here! We had just under 13 million human crawlers make it through the gates and into the dungeon! We are already down to under 10 million! A quick note, the entrances to the second floor will not open up until the introductory episode of Dungeon Crawler World Tunnels, which will be in approximately 30 of your hours. Once that happens, the stairwells to the second level will populate. There will be no lag time for the appearance of additional levels. On behalf of the Borind Corporation, I want to thank you for volunteering, and I wish you all good luck and a happy crawl.
10 million people. It was more than I expected. But still, 3 million additional people dead in a matter of minutes. The number was so huge, it lost meaning. How hard is it to find the staircases?
It can be tricky. It's not too difficult for the first few levels. Starting on the 4th floor, each level will have a random theme and will encompass significantly less area. Entrances will stop populating in random places. They'll be guarded. You'll have to complete quests or defeat bosses to get to them. I had barely made it to floor 11, and when I saw what guarded the entrances to level 12, I knew it wouldn't be worth it.
What was it?
It doesn't matter. It'll be different here. It's different every time.
From there, we resumed the tutorial. The presenter directed me to the party menu, and his chalkboard displayed a group of animated crawlers encircling another one.
You know the old saying about teamwork, right? The stronger your team, the easier it is for them to betray you.
The animated circle of crawlers brandished a variety of weapons and proceeded to beat, stab, and shoot the crawler in the center, Julius Caesar style. That wasn't the saying or the mentality I'd been expecting, but given everything else in this fucked up place, I wasn't surprised.
I suppose my best advice is, don't be the annoying guy in your party, and maybe you'll make it out all right. However, if you do decide to form a team, you'll stand a better chance against the various mobs and bosses inside the dungeon. Statistically speaking, of course. If you happen to enter the dungeon accompanied by a group of people, you will see they have already been added to your party in this menu. All party members will share experience gained from various quests and battles inside the dungeon. Your party shares access to a group chat feature, which is a fantastic tool for strategizing and communicating apart from the prying eyes of anyone not in your group.
Apparently, anyone who entered the dungeon at the same time as anyone else was automatically grouped together. And as a result, I had a party of two. Me and Donut. The cat continued to lounge in front of the fire. It appeared she'd fallen asleep. I paused the video again, thankful for the break. The human's casual laughter while explaining all of this was really starting to bother me.
So, my cat. The system has given her a crawler name and designator. Does that mean she's getting all these special achievements and loot boxes too?
Yes. Any biological creature above a certain weight who enters the dungeon is assigned a crawler ID. But one needs at least an intelligence of 2 to qualify for training. And if you can't do training, your inventory doesn't get turned on, which allows you to access your boxes. Otherwise, they're designated as pets. All the other ones, like wild animals who happen to make it inside, very rarely make it past the first floor.
Mordecai moved to play the video again, but I stopped him. Now that we'd put about 20 minutes between my earlier mention of Borant, I wanted to continue our previous conversation.
Before we do that, I have a couple questions about the people running the show.
What is it?
Are they always listening?
Listening? Yes. Paying attention? Not necessarily. They expect a certain amount of, gnashing of teeth amongst the crawlers. And we NPCs are required to say the name of the organizers multiple times during the training, so we're mostly ignored. Mostly. You really need to be careful once you start collecting followers. They know they're sadistic assholes, but they don't want you saying it on camera. They take their image quite seriously.
You said you've been here for decades. Does this show really only air once every 90 years or so?
No, not at all. Different corporations run each season, which appear about every 2 1/4 of your years. My employer usually has about 5 forward teams working at any given time, and they get chosen to run a season about 1 in 15.
So, with different corporations running each season and different worlds, crawling, then is every season vastly different?
Oh yes. The Squim conglomerate chooses a different game completely, for example. It's a battle royale style fight. An entire world, and it all comes down to one champion. It's good for ratings, but it doesn't make them much money from what I understand. My company is known for making the most elaborate, most entertaining dungeons.
Wonderful.
And you? Are you stuck here for the rest of your life?
No.
Mordecai smiled sadly. He looked down at the framed picture of the eagle creature I had placed on the floor.
This is my last tour. Once this nightmare is over, I become a full citizen. I receive a moderate stipend, and I'm free to make my way into the universe.
Will you go back to your home planet?
No. It's not open to me.
What about the people who didn't go into the dungeon on your world?
We really need to get back to the tutorial.
Okay. But what if someone won the dungeon, made it past level 18? The message said if that happens, they gain control of the world. Maybe your world is under control of one of your people.
Remember how I said I made it down to the 11th floor?
Yeah.
A handful of crawlers over the centuries have made it that far. One once made it down to 13. One. He died within a half hour of hitting the floor. He was a human, like you. But from another human world. That's the deepest anyone has ever delved, kid. Level 13.